Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed. That's Buddy the dog squeaking a small duck. And this is Marek Larwood. How are you doing, Marek? It's a good intro. Good one.
The duck has been taken out of Buddy's mouth. And the look of... a tail slowly wagging less and less.
Aww.
He's not going to get the duck back. Give him the duck for a little bit.
Okay, there you go, mate. welcome to Film Fandango. We're here to talk about films. We've decided to have this underscore this week.
Is that a new duck?
No, he's just getting belligerent. He's sick of us sitting here talking and not playing with him.
How often does he play with that duck?
You know, daily.
Oh, so it's not just he's seen us doing the podcast, but I'm going to get the squeakiest toy I've got.
Well, you know, he's got a couple of... It usually kills the squeak pretty quick, but that one survived for some reason.
The duck does look like a maimed, and then his neck broken. Anyway, this isn't about...
I'm going to take it off him. But how are you doing, Merritt?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks, yeah. Oh, in the background, for those of you, he's been given a squeakless whale, is it?
Yeah, it's a whale.
Okay, it's been a squeak ripped out of it.
It's really been destroyed. That one had an ultrasonic squeak in it that we couldn't hear.
That's very clever, isn't it? So if you can hear some weird squeaking, then you are...
Then you have bat's ears?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, films. They're good, aren't they?
Yeah, so you're... over the course of this podcast, for regular listeners, we've been playing the IMDb game, which is working our way through the top 250 films. And they've got a thing now where you can rate them, and it says to you, if you go to IMDb, yeah. Go to the bottom of the IMDb main screen, it says top 250, and click on that, and it'll show you the top 250 films according to the general public who they voted on. And it tells you how many you've seen if you go through and rate the ones you've seen, which I haven't.
Yeah.
And we've got a game where... your IMDb score is the first film...
you have not seen, if you count from number one, The Shawshank Redemption. And until you hit one you've not seen, and the rank of that film is your score. And so we've been trying to up our scores. Marek is sort of doing better than me at the moment.
Well, I'm working my way through, spread it from different ones, but mine is currently 35, Charlie Chaplin City Lights, which I've seen the first 15 minutes of... and you have now seen all of it.
I have now seen all of City Lights, which I've been working my way through the Chaplins a bit, because it wasn't that long ago we saw Modern Times as well. But City Lights is at 35. My score is still 29 because I haven't seen Interstellar. But then now I've seen City Lights, it'll jump forward a decent
amount. See, once I finish off City Lights, the bad news for you, David,
yes.
Is that I am jumping all the way up to I had it a second ago. The Great Dictator, another Chaplin film,
yeah.
At 56.
I mean, that's...
and then after that, yeah. I'm all
you're
the way
away.
To
you're away.
Lawrence of Arabia, 85. I know I haven't seen all of that. The travesty.
Yeah, I know. But if I watch Interstellar, then I immediately get stopped by Psycho at 36.
Oh yes,
and then Untouchable at 38. So I'm stuck around the high 30s for a
You've
bit.
You've not seen The Untouchables at 38?
No. No, The Untouchables. No, Untouchable.
It's called different things than mine. It's the French one.
Yeah, Untouchable.
That is an absolutely brilliant hidden gem film.
Really?
Its
Metacritic score is not high. 57. Critics didn't seem to like it.
It is absolutely brilliant.
Okay, I look forward to that. But I have seen City Lights, the Charlie Chaplin film. Now, this is, for those who do not know, he plays his little tramp character, as always, and it's a rather charming reveal to the character where the pompous bourgeois people of the city are unveiling a new statue. And they unveil it, and he's asleep in the arms of the statue at the top.
What I like about that bit is the statue is clearly made for him to do as many jokes as possible.
So it's got a hand that reaches out here, and it's like, the sword slide is brilliant, though, isn't it? In that, where he gets his trousers caught on the sword.
It looks like it's a continuous take, which I think is it incredible.
This is what I say. I'll get on to it. The plot is, he plays this down-and-out tramp living in a modern city, and one night he comes across a rich drunk who's trying to kill himself by throwing himself in the river. And
we're next attached to a rock.
Attached to a rock. Cue a slapstick sequence. But what happens is this man ends up being eternally grateful for him saving his life, and the two of them go off for a jolly good time around the city as best friends, getting very drunk in the process. And then in the morning, the man wakes up, and he no longer wants anything to do with the tramp because he's now sober, and he throws him out of his house, and he keeps, but in the evening he goes looking for him again, and it's got this weird sort of duality of what's going on. And simultaneously throughout this, Charlie Chaplin's character has fallen in love with a blind flower seller
well,
who has financial troubles and is going to get kicked out of her house with her mum and all of this. Anyway, it's absolute, you know, it's pure Chaplin in that it's each scene is just an incredibly performed slapstick routine. Almost all of them are just, you know.
Do you know how long you how much time they had to rehearse these things?
I have no idea, but it must be a lot, because the only other person, you know, Buster Keaton we've talked about as well, but in modern times, sort of Jackie Chan is the only person who's kept that tradition alive, really.
You see bits of it in Jim Carrey sometimes.
But not really. He tends to do, you know, bendy acting, but not actual incredible choreography of, you know, set pieces. But, and then it's got, in its story, it's got a mix of real sweetness and satire about modern living, you know, so it's just the incredibly rich and the incredibly poor just sort of mingling together. I think I prefer modern times, but City Lights has got some fantastic sequences. It's got the famous one that is often used as the DVD cover of him in a boxing match, and the one and them getting drunk in a restaurant with a dance floor is a wonderful routine as well. It's, you know, there's just some brilliant stuff in it. It's really charming.
He makes jokes. I've watched the first bit of it, of a guy falling into the water, and also them going for a drink in the house.
Yes.
And it being poured down his trousers. But if you said, make this scene funny.
Yeah.
He does about 7 or 8 different jokes where any other comedian you would think would just do one or two.
Incredible density of laughs. You're absolutely right. And this one, I think, is famous for having the first use of gibberish in a silent film. I think that's right. And it, at the beginning, in the unveiling of the statue scene, that doesn't continue throughout the whole film. The that they've overdubbed over the top. And then in The Great Dictator, which we both haven't seen, but I've read about a bit, Charlie Chaplin speaks in one of his films for the first time in the final scene of that film. And I've seen that scene online, and it's an incredible speech.
Why is Charlie Chaplin, is it just in my head, or that he's not really seen as popular or in vogue, really?
No, sort of pop and a bit rubbish, but he's phenomenally gifted physical performer.
But it's just something that I remember watching, it was on TV when I was a kid quite a lot. Almost as a kid's thing, you'd watch.
Yeah.
You'd put the Charlie Chaplin on, just like clowning, really.
Yes. I've seen as sort of silly and small, but I don't think these are. They're, you know, they're from a different time, but they're incredibly entertaining. You know, these, if you saw it live, you would, you know, think it's incredible. You know, that this level of physical discipline that he can still make seem fluid and funny and spontaneous as well.
The only person I was a big hero of mine is really underrated, Michael Crawford.
Yes,
in Some Mothers Do Have Him. I think some of the, like, the roller skating scene people talk about.
But people look down on that series as well.
I think some of the bits of him getting stuck in a toilet, which had a toilet had an automatic opening door with a sensor on it. And he does so many things, incredible, but no one goes, oh, when they talk about modern comedy, you don't see people saying, oh, my heroes. They talk about Spike Milligan, Peter Sellers.
Very verbal stuff.
One says Michael Crawford is my hero, and he was one of mine heroes.
But Lee Evans has sort of tried to carry that
but
on.
But nowhere near as good as
Michael Crawford. But he attempted a show like Some Mothers Do Have Them, which was a sitcom. I think it was fairly silent, actually. I suppose a bit Mr. Beanie, but where he was doing these farcical sequences that escalated out of control and doing all this, and it was charmless. It didn't work.
Well, it's more clever rather than it's
reactions. It's not slapstick choreography, really. It's not slapstick, I suppose.
There's no huge stunts. I mean, you wouldn't say Rowan Atkinson is not that. He's physically dexterous, but he wasn't doing the sort of thing that Chaplin.
I mean, in modern times. There's a scene where Charlie Chaplin excitedly dives into a river to find it's only 3 inches deep, and he's dived off a platform into it and done this tumble from diving. I can't even imagine how you learn to do that. You just break yourself, but it's brilliant. He's a phenomenal performer, and it's just, regardless of the story or whatever, that in and of itself is a joy to watch.
I mean, modern times for me, choice to change films, the bit when he's in the mall and he's roller skating near the edge. And he seems to be roller skating backwards at times in a circuit.
Sequence in this in City Lights where he is admiring a bronze statue of a naked lady in a window.
Oh, yes.
And he keeps walking back to get a better view of it whilst a trapdoor in the street is opening, one of those delivery hatches to the basement, and the timing of when he's there and going back. And it's
walking backwards, without any flinching.
That
you might literally fall and kill yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's he is just a class above sort of anything we have now, and that is worth watching. You know, it's all in Cirque du Soleil or whatever, but it's all very po-faced, that kind of physical discipline and ability is, you know, it's...
You can almost watch this in stages now. I think it feels a lot like, you said, different sketches.
It's sketches.
You can just watch half an hour of the film.
Yeah.
And then go back to it and watch another half an hour and still enjoy it.
I do find it quite tricky to watch the whole thing in one sitting. I was slightly turning off, and I felt guilty about that because it's so good. What you're watching is so good, but it is, you know, lots of small bits, and it's good to watch half an hour of that or 20 minutes, but to watch an hour and a half, it starts to get a bit like,
That's what he would be doing now, probably. He would be a TV star doing Chaplin's 20-minute half-hour.
But no, it's brilliant stuff. Brilliant.
How many days is it?
Oh, it's very hard to do that. I don't know, but it's great. I mean, you know, at least 8.
Well done, Charlie Chaplin.
Well done, you.
Whatever you're doing now.
Yeah.
I tell you what, though.
He died on Christmas Day.
Oh no!
1977.
After he opened his presents, or before?
I'm not sure, but the hero of the silent era lived long enough to see Star Wars. There you go.
Banging on about Star Wars again.
Well, you know, it's coming on.
Is an email.
Oh, yeah? Who's it from?
From Lewis, originally from South Wales.
Do you want to do it in a South Welsh accent?
Well, let's do it Welsh.
All right.
Welsh. Just want to get back to you. Here we go. Hey, guys. First, just watched It Follows. I loved it. I actually paused the podcast if you were discussing it to watch it. I'm not a big horror fan, but it was great. Fab soundtrack too. Thanks. Second thing, have either of you seen Predestination? I really, really enjoyed it. The acting is pretty phenomenal, particularly the female lead, Sarah Snook, who I'd never seen before, and now have a bit of a crush on.
Sarah Snook?
Hmm.
Don't know her.
It is a time travel movie, though. For me, this is a massive plus. Sorry, someone wrong. But I know this can put a lot of people off. The time travel logic is kind of weird, but that's pretty much the point of the movie, which I can't really explain without spoiling things. That is a particular problem we have.
It is.
I would love to know what you guys think. Also, if you're looking for a time travel film that's truly perfect in its logic, track down the Spanish film, Time Crimes. Primer is amazing, but hard to get your head round, while Time Crimes is easy to understand, but still messing with your head. Love the show, bros. Lewis, originally from South Wales.
Well, thank you, Lewis. Predetermination.
Predestination.
Sorry, it's a complicated word.
Ethan Hawke's in it.
Good for Ethan Hawke. I like Ethan Hawke.
I've got to like Ethan Hawke more.
Yeah.
As he's got older.
I agree. He's good in Boyhood, isn't he?
Very good and very likeable. So watch out for Predestination.
Predestination. And the career of Sarah Snook.
Go for it, Sarah Snook. Hey, I guess, do you like reading?
I love reading.
Well, it's your lucky day.
Why?
Because here is an email from Martin Appleyard. He's written in before old Appleyard, hasn't he?
Appleyard. It's only a short one. Well, what's he want? What voice shall I do, Martin?
Do an old fruit.
An old fruit? Like literally a fruit or like a
camp
person? No,
he's a camp person.
Okay, an old one. Hello, you two. Three, four, who knows? I was listening to a different small niche film podcast called Commode and Mayo's Film Review recently. They had a brilliant new game where they asked listeners to suggest how they might recast famous films with different actors.
What the f...
Just thought it might be something you boys should consider doing on your show. I know, start by recasting Ghostbusters.
What the...
KWTF, as in Commode, what the fuck. And that's from Martin Appleyard. So they have
stolen our game!
I mean, we've got enough precedent there of our format point that we could probably send them a cease and desist if we really wanted to.
But Kermode, that greasy-haired twat, has been listening to this podcast on the sly and nicking our games. What's next? He's going to start pretending to be a miserable arsehole?
I think he has as well. That's your thing.
Right, Kermode, I'm going to smack the shit out of you. Smug prick.
Wow, yeah, well, you know, I think we did invent that game. I don't think anyone in the history
no
of the world has ever done that
before.
No, ever. Yeah, we haven't played it in a while. We should probably get a guest on again, shouldn't we?
That was
always
nice.
Yeah,
if we can be asked.
We could be asked. It's so much hassle.
Oh, no.
What?
Is another letter.
What? Who's it from?
It's from Jonathan Robertson.
Jonathan Robertson.
A long time listener, first time emailer. And he's a Geordie.
Yeah.
But he would be excited to hear us try a Mongolian accent.
Take it away, Marek. I did the last one. So
we've done Mongolian before, haven't we?
We have.
I did Mongolian,
yeah.
But I did it as a Mongoloid, didn't I? Ooh, can you say Mongoloid?
No, you can't. That's
okay, really... ignore that. Yeah. I just said Mongolian wrong.
Yeah, sure.
It's Turkish, isn't it?
No.
No. The Mongols, they...
Mongolia...
it's Ottoman Empire and that stuff, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's north of China. So the Great Wall of China was keeping the Mongols out.
And they went to Turkey then, right?
No, Turkey's near Greece.
I was going to do it, it's Turkish.
You can do it Turkish if you want.
What is a Mongolian accent?
Well, I don't know. I don't know any Mongolian people, but it's
Chinese,
sort of Kublai Khan sort of thing.
What's that then?
Well, I haven't watched that new series with Benedict Wong playing Khan.
He's a nice man.
Yeah, sort of. It's close to China,
okay.
Which is an enormous place, but yeah.
Right, let's do this then. And this is your... If you think this is racist... It's not me you need to pin this on. It's Jonathan Robertson. He's asking, directly asking me to be slightly racist, right?
Well, I don't see what other choice you have.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Following off, while Marek's reveal of a widely disappointing... I don't even know that. This is like a lisp with it. I'll start again. Following on from... I've gone more aggressive because the Mongols were quite...
Well, they're hordes, aren't they? They're famously horse-raiding people.
Following off on Marek's review of a slightly disappointing Mr. Holmes and his love of young Sherlock Holmes, I'd like to suggest another film with an interesting take on the Holmes-Watson dynamic.
In the 1988 comedy Without a Crew, Michael Caine plays Sherlock Holmes in a brilliant performance, second only to his role in The Muppet Christmas Carol, if you ask me. In his version, Holmes is a charismatic but foolish actor who has been hired to act as a cover for the real genius detective, Dr. John Watson, played by Ben Kingsley. They make a brilliant comedic pairing with effortless chemistry, well-written banter, and some wonderful slapstick moments. The whole film is available on YouTube, and well worth a watch. It is not perfect, but I'm very fond of it. And give it 8 Jonathans. Thank you for all your fantastic recommendations. Keep watching the films.
Wow, yes. Without a clue, I have seen this many, many years ago. I have no recollection of whether it's any good or not, but I would look. I remember, you know, I'm sure it is. I would like to see it again. Ben Kingsley's an odd one. Sir Ben Kingsley, who takes himself incredibly seriously, or so the stories go. But then he is capable of being very funny. And Michael Caine's always good, isn't he?
King Bensley, that's what they should call him.
King Bensley.
I said it before, but I really think King Bensley should just do that.
Yeah.
I think I've seen this on TV ages ago, but I can't remember it. My problem is that my memory is pretty much maximum 5 years on film, so...
Then you dump it all.
Gone. Everything is gone. Into the abyss. The abyss of time. Mm. Let's read one more. With probably the best title for an email ever.
What's that?
Let the Piss Flow Films.
Okay. I'll read this.
Well, Christopher Dodd's written in, and he's asked if he can read this out in the voice of a Mexican drag queen who has recently been dumped.
Wow. Wow, that is very specific. A Mexican drag queen who's recently been dumped. Okay, so I'm Mexico. But how do you do Mexican drag queen?
That sounds quite good.
Hello.
But a bit...
Oh, no, I've recently been down. Oh, hi, guys. In recent years, I have invented a new category of film, the Let the Piss Flow film. This basically means that the film I'm watching is so not engaging with me. I'm at a level of boredom that I don't mind at all leaving the cinema to take a piss. Now is time... In times gone by, I would never ever leave the cinema, even if I was bursting, because the quality of the films was at such a level that my bladder came second to the entertainment. But these days, I seem to be going to the toilet more and more during films. Some of the recent films I've taken a leak in include Man of Steel. I love Superman 2 so much that I saw it over 6 times in the cinema, but this reboot was very boring. It lacked emotion, it lacked excitement. I had no problem at all trundling along to the lavatory in the middle of the film. Taken 3. God blimey, the first Taken was the top film. How anyone can think this pile of dung is even in the same class is beyond me. This was so bad, I went for a piss, and then later fancied having a shit as well. I was wondering if you guys have your own Let the Piss Flow films at all from recent times. Kind regards, Chris. Thank you, Christopher Dodd.
What a great email. On your acting CV...
Yes. Mexican drag queen.
Brackets upset.
Okay, yeah, do that.
That was really good, mate.
Thanks. Maybe I'll do that in Edinburgh next year.
Just read out film reviews.
Okay. Yeah, Let the Piss Flow films. Films I'm happy to go for a piss in. I've said it before, halfway through Prometheus, I was like, no, I'm happy to go take a leak now.
I don't really have a choice.
No? I once... was so busting, but was in the middle of a row, didn't want to leave during Resident Evil, and it from about halfway onwards I'd mistimed it all. And then I don't know if you recall that film, but after it ends it's got a whole nother act, so you think you're about to get to go to the loo, and then it does 28 days later at the end of it.
I quite enjoy Resident Evil.
One's quite fun. It's, you know, it's daft, but it's fun. It's got spaghetti dogs, which they're supposed to be skinned dogs, but they're clearly just real dogs sort of covered in pasta sauce.
That sounds nice.
Does he go and lick a dog?
Where's Buddy gone? He like this
he's
bit.
Here, he's asleep.
Buddy, we're talking about spaghetti dogs. Not interested.
No, not interested.
Yeah, I just realised I'm going to go for a piss. What I've tried to do is, I mean, this isn't really what people talk about. I bet on Komodo don't talk about this.
They will next week.
I've stopped buying the big drinks and just I try and dehydrate myself and just fill myself with popcorn so I can last.
Well, I mean, that's an enormous amount of sugary pop to have these days, isn't it? I mean, we're a bit more health conscious, and you realise if you get one of their drinks, you're basically downing a bag of sugar whilst watching Taken.
There's no way you can have a medium to large size drink.
Mm.
There's no and no. Manage 2 hours.
No,
because you've got trailers. The problem is now you've got half an hour to start.
Well, you're bored, so you're just drinking faster than you normally would.
And the trailers weren't half an hour long with the adverts beforehand.
No.
So you've extended, and the films have got longer. So it's an extra hour.
Mm.
I just go in the afternoons and sit near the aisle. And then do that weird creep down.
Depending
the stairs,
on the cinema, you can then wee through the toilet door from your seat, can't you?
We've got that, you know, they've got that bit, I think we talked about this before, they have on TVs when the adverts coming up in the corner.
Yeah.
That flashes.
The little black and
there
white.
There should be just in the corner for people with smaller bladders a 2 minute scene that is less necessary to the plot.
Or, what about an app where you press, I'm going to the loo now, and then when you get back from the loo, you press, what did I miss? And it fills you in on what happened in the scenes that between those times.
The problem
times.
Is, someone talked to about this before, there is an app where
it tells you the best time because it's boring at that
but you
bit.
You can't really... The problem with that is, you can't teach your bladder to...
No.
If you need a piss, you need a piss.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think my app's a genuinely good idea, that it just says what you missed in the scenes from when you left to when you got back. Just describes all the things that happened.
The problem is that they should have, in the toilet...
Screens.
Not screens, but this is the problem with multi-screen things. If you get the app out, you're getting a fan in the cinema, which I really hate.
That's true.
It should be have the speaker, like when you're doing a theatre play.
Oh, yeah.
In the toilet. But with multi-screens, you can't really have that.
I used a urinal recently that had a TV screen on it that had a racing game where you steered the car by where you were pissing.
I think I went to the urinal after you. It's absolutely covered.
It's disgusting. But what struck me there was, well, in order for this game to work, that TV screen's got a camera looking at my dick on the underside of it. Otherwise, how else does it know where I'm
unless
pissing?
The urinal's...
The urinal was just metal. It was just a normal... Disgusting urinal.
So it's a way you think you're playing the game, but they're just filming your dick.
Filming you go from side to side. It's a way of getting you to swing from side to side.
And afterwards, they send you, do you want to buy a picture
outside
of your dick?
Outside is all of the photos of the ride.
And you have to buy your
client. Otherwise, it's up there all day for families to see.
Oh, God, I've got to spend 10 quid on a picture of my own dick.
Again, why do I keep coming here? I've got so many pictures of my dick. Oh, such a waste of money.
Talking of pictures of dicks,
yeah.
I went to see a film. I went on the Isle of Wight on holiday for 10 days.
Yeah,
I had to watch all these disaster movies before, so I haven't been to cinema. But I'm entitled to a bloody holiday. I still watched a film.
Yes, what did you see?
I saw. It's been released this year. It's While We're Young. You probably saw a trailer for it, and you thought, there's a film I'm completely indifferent to.
I've never heard of it.
Right, it
No,
is...
I have. It had some a sort of short-lived poster campaign on the Tube at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it came out in about April time.
Right.
It's by Noel Baumbach, who
made up his own name.
He'd sort of got famous from making Francis Ha.
Oh, yes, which you didn't like.
I hated... more than anything.
So why did you go and see? Why did you see this if you hated it? So
I just my friends said what we were watching. What can we buy to watch on TV? So I said, my friend Paul. I said we've got to watch a film. We'll just watch this one. Looks all right.
All right.
He did things like The Squid and the Whale. He did Greenberg, which I quite liked. And he's done a film out now, which is everyone's banging on about, called Mistress America, which has got the woman from Frances Ha in it, who Greta Gerwig, who I can't believe it's not really annoying, because that first film was really... Frances Ha was total shit. Anyway, While We're Young, it is Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts.
Yeah.
They're a middle-aged couple. Guess what? Life's gone pretty boring. Friends are having a baby. They started doing baby things.
And they're left behind.
They've tried to have kids and had them, and they think they're happy, but are they really happy? Ben Stiller's making a documentary about, but he's going on for ages and ages about some war person or some bullshit. They meet a young couple.
Swingers.
No. Just a young, cool couple. Adam Horovitz, who's in Star Wars.
Adam Driver, you mean?
Adam Driver, sorry, I've read the wrong name. Adam Driver is, and Amanda Seyfried play these characters. Adam Driver's brilliant. I think he's got a really great face.
He is excellent, isn't he?
I'm sure he's going to be brilliant in Star Wars.
I think he's the baddie.
Yeah. He was in the Lena Dunham thing that made him famous, I suppose. But he's the next big up-and-coming star, I think. They play this cool sort of retro couple, and they just go and listen to cassettes, and they go and watch films. And there's some really great scenes where the couple, Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts, are doing sort of modern things on their phones the whole time, on their iPlayers, going through Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the young couple are listening to cassettes, watching old videos.
Is cassettes the new vinyl now? If you're
pretty
sort
much,
of
yeah.
hip and connected to your feelings, you now listen to shitty cassettes.
Yeah, they're living in the moment, and whereas the older couple aren't.
But you know the everyone knows the superior sound quality of cassettes to CDs.
I mean, a worn out cassette was brilliant. my aunt telling me. We went to Norwich to visit them, that they had to buy another cassette of Enya because they'd worn out.
Wow.
They completely worn out the first one.
Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Somewhere there's a huge, big, you know, landscape in China on a dump of worn out Enya cassettes.
A landfill of Enya.
Millions and millions of worn out cassettes. You can't hear anything. Just this sail away.
Do you remember when your Walkman broke and it suddenly did everything at half speed? Or when the batteries were running
batteries
down?
Batteries went down. Or the tape gets caught up and you try and put it back. This film is... I'm not a big Ben Stiller fan because he does the same... I'm sick of him doing the Ben Stiller face. You know what I mean?
I don't like whimsical Ben Stiller. I like comedian Ben Stiller more than most. I mean, it's... I was a big fan of its There's Something About Mary, which was sort of the one that made him a leading man, wasn't it? And it's a great film. It's very funny. And then, you know, Zoolander, he's brilliant in. And he's good in Dodgeball and his cameo in Anchorman. And Mystery Men as well. I've no inclination to see him in one of these, you know, Life of Walter Mitty or whatever.
That was a weird film.
Yeah.
This is... You know those films where the actors are like having more fun at certain points?
Right.
And that's what happens at certain...
Ocean's 12.
They cross the line of when they think they're being funny.
Right.
This was... There's a sketch in this about two parallel couples meeting this younger couple... And it's a 20-minute, 30-minute short film that somehow got extended into... They have to comply to this Hollywood arc.
Yeah.
The first bit's quite funny and quite amusing, and it goes downhill rapidly when they've got to sort of tag on this story that, oh, maybe this young person's not what he seems, and maybe Ben Stiller's right in his life after all. And the solution is, oh, yeah, let's have a baby like everyone else our age, and that is a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
It's really unsatisfactory. Sorry, it's... I mean, you know what's going to happen in this film. There's no... Right. That you know exactly the... It's, oh, you know, we meet a young couple, they're really, really cool, all of a sudden we want to try and live their lives. Ben Stiller buys a hat to look cool, and then it slowly unravels. It's not what it seems. You know exactly what's going to happen. So in a film where you know what's going to happen, it's got to be funny.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have any jokes after the first 20-30 minutes. It sort of descends into this weird sort of shit. Oh, Ben Stiller finding out who he really is and then rediscovering.
I don't find him very charming when he's playing himself or playing someone real, you know, and I don't find Naomi Watts that charming either.
I'm quite a big fan of her, but
she's all right. I thought she was very good in The Impossible, but she's mostly dying in that. You know, she was good at that.
She's got elements of Nicole Kidman about her.
Yeah, and that a sort of unknowable quality, as in there's a coldness there, a lack of sense of humour, possibly. I mean, it may be entirely unfair. It might just be what the camera sees. But Mulholland Drive, she's fantastic in. Like, she's, you know, it's a weird ass film, but she's good in it.
Yeah, this, I didn't really feel as if, I just thought, oh, that was amusing at the start. And just pretty average. You can see a lot of middle-aged couples going, laughing at the, putting out obvious jokes. And that's done quite well. And there are moments where it is funny, not laugh out loud funny, but recognition funny.
Yeah.
And then it just descends into this sort of boring plot. I mean,
how many merits do you give it?
Five,
right. No, I mean, it's not one I would ever have watched anyway, so thank
you.
Well,
me neither.
Thank you for watching it.
Don't watch it.
All right, while we're young. While we're young?
Yeah.
While we're young.
While you're young, do not waste your life watching this, unless you want something just really just averagely mediocre.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel cheated, because I think I just... This is how I feel.
Yeah.
That is my review of this film. You can talk about it, but I mean, I'm wasting your lives, the listeners' lives, by talking about this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Commode and Mayo will probably... Say meh about it next week.
So. You stop slicking his hair back.
I think it's a helmet, isn't it? I always thought that was a helmet. Is it not a helmet he wears?
I don't know.
I saw them in a screening once, and they were like a little old married couple, just sort of bickering on the front row. I'm just like, are you comfortable? He goes, well, stop it, stop fussing.
Simon May always has to tend to be quite ignorant, but on the film, he must have seen shitloads of films. Yeah.
Well, it's because the sort of relationship they've,
like me.
Yeah, you pretend to be angry, don't you? When actually, every time you arrive at my front door, you're playing a ukulele and singing a song about things you can see.
Yeah,
it's completely different to your persona that you put on for Film Fandango.
A persona.
Yeah.
Well, everyone out there, enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy yourselves. That's it for this week. This has been episode 199.
Holy shit!
Yes, so next week is episode 200. 200 weeks of Film Fandango. Which is exciting for some, you know. Yes, if you'd like to email us, then please do so. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com. Have I done this yet?
All I'm thinking of is 200 weeks, which means... I really haven't had a long job for 4 years.
Then why does everyone call you Long Job? Why is that your nickname then?
Uh-oh.
Right, well, yes, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. I can't remember if I've done all of the stuff, but it doesn't matter.
You can donate to help our thing by going to UK if you've enjoyed it. Thank you to all the people who have.
Yeah, you are superheroes. We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.